Cheetos and Mountain Dew, and get ready to roll that 20-sided dice, for it's time to
attack the darkness.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Attack the Darkness. I'm Scott.
And I'm Bob.
And we are your hosts for this Nerdy Gamer podcast. How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. It's been a couple months, you know, and an entirely new state. So, you know, here we go. Podcast number two.
It's just, you know, 6 months. You know, we're already doing better than the Mad Dingoes. So I call that a success.
I do, too.
We're hoping to do this like once a month, but our schedules, you're busy with the swimming and I'm busy with the acting. So
it's what it is. But you know what? Well, I had a good time last time, so I'm hoping we do get this going and continue it forward.
Well, I do know that we have some fans out there, Mr. Tank Huffington, an idol of mine, who is looking forward to episode number two. So hopefully this will make him happy.
Well, we should have some good stuff.
All right. Well, then let's start off with the Adventurer's Log.
Awesome.
When last we left our intrepid heroes.
So this is a spot where the bulk of the show, we're talking about our games. Bob is a GM and runs games for the most part, and I am a player and I play in games. Sadly, not the same game.
No, not at all. Not the same game.
I would love to be in your game. That would be so much fun.
I would love you to be in our game too. I think you would kind of keep the storyline going. It'd be a blast.
You play on Saturday nights, is that right?
We play on some Saturday nights. Our scheduling is iffy at best.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, Saturday nights are bad for me because I almost always have shows.
Right.
Although the most of my gaming is done on Saturday nights when I'm not in shows. You want to? What do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about your game or my LARPs? What do you feel like?
Why don't we? Since I have two sort of games that I'd like to talk about, why don't we do one of mine and then we can do your LARP and then we'll do my other one.
Hey, that sounds great. Go ahead and take it away then, buddy.
All right, so I'm a GM, and I run a game on Saturday nights, and that's a Pathfinder game. But the game I want to start with talking about is on Thursday nights, I would get together with a bunch of friends, and we'd go to this local gaming shop, and we were playing a Pathfinder game where I was playing in the game. But recently, our GM has decided to take kind of a break, and we've been playing a card game recently, that's kind of really gotten me excited. I actually went out and bought like a bunch of packs and expansion packs and everything else.
Holy crap! How much did you spend?
I think it was pretty close to $100, $120.
Jesus Christ! Okay.
So, you know, but we've been playing it every week since then. It's been like 5 weeks now, and just having a blast. Just having a good time.
Can we just pause and give a public service announcement? Parents, if you want your kids to not do drugs, get them gaming because they will have no money for drugs.
This is true. This is very true. So the game is called Sentinels of the Universe, and it is essentially you and up to two to five players are playing the game. And you all play superheroes, and you're playing against the game, which is a supervillain. And then, the way the turns go is the supervillain goes, then each hero around the table goes, and then there's also one more part of the game that can affect everything in the game called the environment.
Oh my God, this sounds so much fun.
It's a blast. And the neat thing is there's something like 12 heroes out and 12 villains and 8 different environments. So every time you play, if you're playing something different, it's always like a new game to play.
And how many people normally play?
We usually have about four or five. And the game has beat us a couple times, and we've gotten down to where one player has survived and takes out the supervillain, and we've gotten it where all of us are up and we've taken out the supervillain. So it's kind of interesting, a very interesting game.
Is it easy to learn?
It's very easy to learn. So essentially, you get 3 turns. You play a card that's in your hand. You use a power, and then essentially you draw a card, and then it's the next person's turn. But because you're in a cooperative system, you know, you can use this power to help out that character, or this power to draw more cards, or this power to attack the villain, or something like that. And the villain has cards that he'll draw that will either give him protection from things, or will take any of the cards that you have out playing on the table, and he'll wipe the table, so there's no cards playing on the table anymore.
Is the villain basically the GM?
No, there's no GM. All the people at the table are players, and one person decides to flip the cards for the villains.
Oh, wow.
And they've come out with recently, they've come out with an updated version, which I haven't purchased yet, where you play in teams, and one team plays the villains, and one team plays the heroes.
Holy, and you have the base set?
I have the base set, and I think two expansion sets.
I think I need, because I've got like, a few weeks off until my next show starts. I need to get up there.
Yes.
And see if me, you, Christina, and maybe we can get a couple other people, and you can take me through this game, because this sounds like a great waste of my money.
It probably will be. I'm still trying to get Christina to have an opportunity to come out and play, so she may join us on Thursday.
God, that sounds so much fun.
I this is one of those games that I just – and Christina can tell you, I'm not a huge – not a great big fan of board games. I like them. I enjoy them. I play them. And this game I played once and was like, I'm buying it. I'm getting it right now.
And it's called Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Sentinels of the Multiverse. And the publisher is – it is Greater Than Games LLC.
Okay. I will try to put a link in our show notes, and that way people can go explore that.
Awesome.
Thank
you. So how about your LARP? Now, go ahead and tell us what's going on in your LARPing world.
Well, I play in three LARPs. Unfortunately, our werewolf LARP, we've lost our storyteller, so I haven't played that in months now. But I, my main LARP that I play is a vampire LARP, and I play the Nosferatu Prince of Monterey, and I don't want the position, but it's mine. And that's been really cool. We just had – I belong to an organization called the Mind's Eye Society, which is a global LARP community.
Nice.
And we just this past week had to elect a new clan head. We choose one Nosferatu in all the game players who's going to lead the clan.
Now, are you in this election, did you have like a campaign? Are you building a wall to keep out the werewolves? Are you
No, it's not like president. It's just someone who will win the clan, because there's seven major clans in the vampiric society. And so when they get together, it's the clan head of each one who will try to help lead the clan. And it was pretty fun going to, it was what's called a proxy, where we send our character to a national storyteller and they run the game. There wasn't any combat or anything.
Right.
But at the end of the meeting, and the Tiku, which are the boogeymen of the Nosferatu, showed up and scared the shit out of everybody. So that was fun. And then the other character I play, because you can play up to two, last September, San Francisco had what was called a featured game of the month, where a lot of people go to the featured game mainly because there's extra XP for it.
Got it. Okay.
But they also have, oftentimes they'll have fundraisers. And their fundraiser was an auction. And so I play a very – I've been in the organization so long, I can make a very powerful character. And so I put myself on the auction block that I would make a character that would be 99% loyal to whoever won the auction to their character.
Nice.
And so
– But 1% not loyal?
Well, I always say that if you fuck me over, I'm not going to be loyal to you. So that's what, 99% I will be loyal to you.
There you go.
So a player who plays a Tremere, they are the wizard vampires, upstarts, and a lot of people hate them. He won it at $125. I was so shocked. I went for over $100. And so what I made was the Tremere used to enslave the Gargoyle clan. These are all vampires that look like gargoyles.
Got it.
And so I made a free gargoyle that was still loyal to his character. And so I got to start playing him last month in San Francisco, and I'll get to go in the next couple months before my next show starts. But it's so much fun getting the character together and the costuming. And I have one of the costumers at the theater who's helping me build wings on the back of my trench coat. Very stylized, not like not articulate or anything. I'm going more along the lines of Daryl Dixon's vest.
Okay.
To where he has the angel wings, but these will be darker and bigger because they'll be on the back of the trench coat.
Got it.
But so it's just so much fun to play these LARPs. Just, as an actor, I find it like an improv exercise.
Right.
And as a gamer, I just love just becoming my character.
It's becoming a character. Fun. Right. Right. Yeah,
blast. Well, how's your Pathfinder game going?
Well, so the Pathfinder game, when we last talked, I said there were some things coming up soon, and I didn't want to go into much detail. Because my players listen. we haven't got a chance to play very often, but we did actually surpass that. So the mechanics of the game that came up was the characters were coming into a haunted mansion, and essentially it was a wealthy nobleman slash wizard was trying to become a lich. And in the process of becoming a lich, his wife stumbled upon the ceremony he was going through and killed him right at the process going through. And his essence, instead of merging, you know.
Does that make her a lich bitch?
Yes, it makes her a lich bitch. his essence, essentially, instead of becoming a lich, it was infused into the house. Becoming a haunted house. And it was really interesting because it had some interesting mechanics like, hey, you walk in this room and when you, it had certain types of hauntings. So as you would go through the adventure, you had to assign different characters, different hauntings. And a couple of the hauntings were universal. So anybody who walked in the room could be affected by it.
Right.
But other than that, only certain characters were affected. So one room Christina walked into and she began dancing because the piano started playing and she just starts dancing. And in her mind's eye, she sees herself dancing with her husband and, you know, and she's just going through this sort of thing. And as of course she's dancing, you know, she's taking points of damage and stuff like that. Right. And so right. she has to break free. One of the hauntings was the character walks into a room, sees themselves being attacked by their husband, and he's hitting her with some sort of fire or something like that. In order to get out, the woman actually dives through the window, you know, to the rocks below and dies.
And
That's what the character does, right? The character sees himself on fire and bolts for the window and dives out the window, rolling down the roofs until eventually they get one chance, you know, one or two chances to save themselves before they fall off to the cliffside 300 feet below and die on the rocks.
Did they save themselves?
They walked in the room, the hunting came up, they see the hunting and then they made their saving throw and the hunting went away. And I went, that was so anticlimactic.
Damn it. Damn you players.
But it was interesting because at times the players were so scared. We had a couple people so scared of the hauntings in the room, they wouldn't even go in the rooms. Like, you had this group of adventurers who would be like, I'm not opening the door. I'm not opening that door. Not me. I'm going to stand out here while the door is being opened. And then you had a couple of people going, screw this. We're adventurers. Let's go through the door. Right.
Nice.
So it was fun. It was fun watching their expressions as they go through this mechanics that they had never, you know, been through. And of course, you know, when they first walking into the mansion and they come around the corner and they look on it on the side of the cliff, and there is this big mansion that's slightly leaning off the side of the cliff, right? Dark mansion. I say, you know, you see this, you know, green van pull out of the park, you know, and it's right past you, you know, and there's somebody back going, hey, let's get out of here, Scooby, you know, and
roll. That's great.
So
that sounds like fun.
It was a blast. We had a good time. So now they've moved past that. We've moved into the next thing, but it was a good time.
Can you give me a hint, a teaser of what they're about to face?
Well, I gave them a little teaser of what they believe is a troll under a bridge, because there's this big monstrous creature seen under this massive bridge under a city, and they all went to go hunt it down. And right when they were leaving, one of the characters sort of out of the corner of her eye turned and looked at a shadow and saw it as a tree until the shadow moved. And then they sort of had left the area and it was like, oh, wait a minute. That thing was much bigger than we thought it was.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Well, when we get together again next month, we'll find out where they have gone.
Yes.
Hey, I want to talk about one thing that I don't know where else to put it. I'll put it right here. You know, I'm a big Kickstarter boy. I like backing Kickstarter projects. Right. And right now there are two Kickstarters about to hit. Well, actually, there's a third. My Mind's Eye Theater, Werewolf the Apocalypse, that book hit at midnight, so that's closed. But closing on March 8th is Pugmire Fantasy Tabletop RPG. Have you heard of Pugmire before?
I have not. I have not heard of Pugmire. What's it about?
So it was created by my good friend Eddie Webb. Okay. And it is a cross between Planet of the Apes and Lord of the Rings, except instead of monkeys and apes, it's all dogs.
Okay.
Dogs have taken over the world, and they're fighting the evil forces of the Kingdom of Meow.
Oh, wow.
So you can see where that's going.
That game won't go well in my house.
Right? And I'm a cat household too, but at the same time, it sounds like a whole lot of fun. And so if you go to Kickstarter, it ends March 8th with his 1 week away, Pugmire Fantasy Tabletop RPG. And then the other one that closes on March 13th is the second edition of 7th Sea, which is one of my favorite RPGs of all time.
And is it a pirate game?
You better fucking believe it's a pirate game. It's actually very cool. It's not only pirates. It's a lot of Renaissance-esque intrigue and politics, but it's a whole lot of fun. They have just hit the mark where they are now the single most successful RPG in Kickstarter's history.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah,
because it's got a huge fan base, and everyone has been waiting for the longest time for the second edition. So they end on March 13th, and that's 7th Sea second edition, if you want to go back that. Both of these games, I will say, are really good. I'm at the 40 level mark. Oh, my God.
I'll have to check them out. Pugmire sounds fun. I think I'd like play like a bulldog who's, you know, got way too much you know, kind of like a dwarf, you know, he's very bullish, you know, comes up, thinks he's bigger than he really is, you know, big attitude, small dog.
See, I want to play a husky. I want to play a husky who's kind of like a rogue. That's the idea I have for him.
Right.
A husky rogue would be a whole lot of fun. So yeah, so that's what's going on the Adventurer's Log right now. And I think now, if you will humor us, gentle listener, I think it's time to take a trip to the treasure trove.
The treasure trove.
It's time to loot the bodies and explore the treasure trove.
Okay. This is the part of the show where we create magical items, and we are offering it to you, our listeners, to use in your game free of charge. This, you know, we could charge millions of dollars for these.
We could.
But we are giving them to you for free.
We should copyright these.
We really should. I don't think I can mine. Who do you want to go first this time?
You get to go first this time.
Okay. Mine looks like a common plastic kiddie pool that you'd get like at a big box store, like Target or something.
I like those.
But it is lined with silver, and it is lined with lead, and it has holy enchantments on it that the water inside of it will turn into holy water. So that way, if you have a fairy or a werewolf or a vampire or a lich, you can throw it into it and it will kill it. It's kind of like a Deadpool.
Nice.
If you would. And so that is mine. It is the Deadpool.
Nice. That is nice. Mine is.
And it's very, very lightweight.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, until you add the water, right? Or is it, you know?
Yeah. No, that'll make it heavy.
Because that's hard to, you know, bring about in the dungeon. Do you have to blow it up like you would like a normal kiddie pool?
No. Actually, I didn't even think about making it inflatable. I just thought that those hard plastic kiddie pool.
Oh, right.
And it's great. You could plus you didn't have to kill anyone. You could just take a bath in it if you wanted.
It's a holy bath.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine is not per se a magic item, although a crafty wizard could craft such into a magic item.
Yeah.
Mine is a spell that one could use during a game. And especially it would be fun to watch other players at your table, have to act out the spell. The spell is called Sloth Speak. And it's sort of taken from the same idea. If you saw the trailer,
Sloth Speak.
Sloth Speak, yes. If you saw the trailer to Zootopia, the scene where the sloths are speaking real slow and it takes them a long time to say what.
Can I put you on double speed yet?
They want. So the spell, it could be absolutely fantastic. Because the spell could, you know, here you have a bunch of wizards coming at you and you cast Lost Speak on a wizard and all of a sudden the wizard's like, for sure, you know, so it slows down their speaking ability. If you have right. a fighter trying to give out, you know, an orc fighter trying to give out commands to his, all the commands come out slow. And of course the other orc fighters, what are they going to do? They're going to look at their commander like he's a fucking moron, right?
Right.
So.
Right.
So I think this is a great spell, you know, and if somebody's crafty enough, they could put it into an item, you know, yeah. or you create a greater version that affects an area of people. So now you have a whole area just speaking slow, sloth speak.
Wonderful. I know a couple of podcasters I like to put that on so I can understand what they're saying.
I think
two great items.
I think I might actually use it in my game.
Wonderful. I know who you could put it on right now. So that was our visit to the treasure trove. I think it's time to get a little classy and head around the gaming table.
And now, please join Sir Reginald Thaco around the gaming table.
Around the gaming table, where we take a character well known to us as players and DMs, and we're going to introduce them to our listeners. And this month, we are pleased to have with us Jevica Noor, rogue, Slaver. I forgot her race. Christ.
She's human, but of the Sarkozian descent.
Sarkozian and bon vivant, if you would. Jevica, hello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Before we begin with the formal questions, how's life treating you right now?
Well, you know, it's always been hard, you know, with Isidore always being over everything. But lately, it's been fairly quiet. There hasn't been a lot of problems with Asterix chasing us, and the Legates seem to have calmed down recently. So not so much with the slaughtering and the running and hiding. So I wouldn't call it good, but I would call it calm.
Is Isidore the local warlord, wizard, crime boss?
He fancies himself a god.
Is he Wizard of the Blue?
No, he's a god. He's a fallen
different,
god.
Different
that.
Isidore.
Yes, the local legend is that he was cast out by the other gods, and he fell to our world, and as he fell to our lands, he used what remained of his power to cut off all access to this world to any other gods. So he is the only. There is no other. There is no church for anyone else. There is no asking for blessings from anyone else. And basically, if you worship this god, you are the incarnate of evil. And he has made it the charge of everyone who follows and worships him to kill off anything that has any sort of magic. At least I'm not an elf, you know, or a dwarf. They have terrible, terrible times.
Good, yes.
Yes, but it doesn't make it
if
any easier for the rest of us.
If I was to pull back a meta curtain, what game system were you created under?
I believe it's referred to as the World of Midnight. Midnight is the name of the game. It's D20 based. And
interesting.
It's a very, very dark world. Your other host actually is very familiar with it. He can probably fill you in. It's one of his favorite systems.
Yes. Midnight was stumbled upon a couple years back, and it's essentially a very dark, dark world. essentially the characters are, it's imagine you're in Lord of the Rings, only imagine Sauron has won. You know, he's defeated the elves. He's defeated dwarves. And it's the end of days is essentially what the World of Midnight is like.
Kind of like if Trump gets elected.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, are you ready for our questionnaire?
I don't like to share too much with myself, but please, you know what? We'll make an exception. Go right ahead.
All right. Question number one. What is your favorite word?
My favorite word. Yes. Oh, I like when everyone yes. I'm trying to sell something to says yes.
Well, makes sense. Question number two. What is your least favorite word?
Discount.
You don't like giving them, do you?
I am, after all, a purveyor of fine arts and antiquities. I like when things sell for their best.
I would almost assume that you would like the five-finger discount.
How I acquire my items is no one's business but mine. It's how they sell that matters.
We do not judge. We do not judge here.
We do not.
Question number three. What turns you on?
Gold. Tradable goods.
Yeah.
Anything worth anything.
So not Justin Bieber.
Who?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Earth stuff. Question number four. What turns you off?
The gates and asterisks. If I have to run from another one of those magic-smelling pain in the asses, do you know how hard it is to try to sell magical things in a world where there's creatures that can detect magic a mile away from them, and they have the shape of animals, so you don't know who they are or what they are until you see their eyes, and then they glow red, and then you realize you're kind of fucked. Yeah, no, yeah, that.
You feel strong about that one.
Very.
It sounds like it. I'm a little taken back right now.
Magical items are worth quite a bit. You can sell them for an amazing amount. I could get, like, safe haven for at least a month with a good magical item. I could get better armor and weapons if I can get it past the asterisk. And the only place you can really trade these things are in major cities. And, of course, they're run by a legate. So, of course, there's going to be an asterisk near. Anyways.
Sounds like to me like she needs a death pool nearby to get rid of these asterisks.
Can I have one of those, by the way? I was listening in. That sounds like a wonderful item to have. Anyone? No pool?
I guess that would be up to your DM.
Never mind. He's stingy. All right. Go on.
Moving on. Question number six. What sound or noise do you hate? Wait, what question were we on?
We just asked her least favorite word.
No, what was the one after that?
I've lost
what
my place.
What turns me on? I think you asked what turns me on.
What turned you off.
Yes.
Question number five. What sound or noise do you love?
Quiet. Not too quiet, though. The quiet you find when you're in a place where there's no damage happening, there's no fighting, no one's running, no one feels fear. You can hear the flora and the fauna in the woods, but it's just calm and quiet, and you know that you're going to be able to just sort of sneak past without anyone paying you any mind.
Nice. I like that. Mm-hmm. Question number six. What sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, the sound of an alarm. Any alarm. Small child screaming, look, there she is. All of that. I hate that noise.
I actually have to agree with her on that one. I hate it when my alarm goes off at 4:15 in the morning.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
It's nuts.
Question number seven. What is your favorite curse word?
That's an interesting one. I mean, what would constitute as a... I mean, really, the only curse there is Isridor. So that would have to be my answer, unfortunately. It sort of covers all the bases. You can't really use it like you can use fuck or damn or crap, but Isridor is the greatest curse of all. So I'm going to have to go with that one.
Seems kind of a crappy curse word that you can't really use then.
Isridor.
Of course, in a world of magic, a curse word could mean something entirely different.
This is true.
Luckily, we don't really have to worry about that too much.
Question number eight. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
A profession?
Yes.
No. Working forever for somebody else and getting nothing? Never. Never. I like being my own boss. Thank you very much. I could never follow the orders of anyone else. It's too oppressive.
Enough. Question number 9, what profession would you not like to do?
All of them except the one I already do. Well, there was an assassin I met once who their job looked kind of fun. But other than that, I definitely wouldn't want to be a legate. I wouldn't want to be tied to someone bossing me around and then have to guard to have to live in an area with all those smelly orcs. No. So legate is definitely off the list.
Right off.
Completely.
And our final question, number 10. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Heaven? Is that like where the elves go? They attach themselves to trees. Because
Heaven is this concept that when you die, you'll go to either a good place or a bad place. We're going to assume you're going to a good place.
Oh, well, unfortunately, when you die here, you just raise up as fell because there's nowhere else for you to go. So really, whatever doesn't make me rise. Really, for me, heaven would be someone chopping my head off as soon as I fall down dead so that I don't raise back up as hell, as fell. Can we just say that? I hope that someone is standing next to me with an axe and can just chop my head off so I don't rise.
So let's take that question then in this context. If you were to die and brought before what was his name? His name was
Isidore.
Isidore, what would you like to have him say to you?
I don't want him to talk to me at all. Why would I want to be in front of Isidore? He's incarnate evil. I mean, I'm not good, but I'm not evil. I wouldn't do half the things that him and his people do. What would I want him to say to me? I'm leaving forever and your planet is free. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't want to come before him ever at all.
Okay.
I would rather hide, run, shadow jump. I would get as far away from him as possible.
Makes sense. Well, Jevica, thank you ever so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Does anyone know how to, I'll go this way, right? Exit out this door down here.
That door, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Bob, that's it for this month.
Yes, it is. Hopefully it'll be that's it for this month, and we'll be back next month.
I'm going to try my damnedest. Try my damnedest if we're going to be back next month.
I'll be around. So I think, I had a good time talking with Jevica. That seems like a pretty scary place where she's at.
I don't want to go there. I do not want to go there. Not even with a Deadpool.
No, not even with a Deadpool. Doesn't sound very good at all.
Before we go, I'd like to take a moment to thank Matthew Burlingame for our delicious new logo. I hope folks can take a look at it and like it.
Thank you, Matt.
And I'd like to take a moment to thank Audio Machine for all the music for our bumpers.
Thank you, Audio Machine.
Check them out on the iTunes. So anything else to say in closing there, Bob?
I missed this. I had a good time. We definitely need to do this again next month.
And I think we definitely will. So in the meantime, dear listeners, get your dice ready. And if all else fails, remember to
attack the darkness.